Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone? Advise Show Radio listeners, we have the first show of 2014, and the topic tonight, should Black Americans forget about slavery? We put up a promo video today talking about that. Ms. Gabriella did that, actually, not me, and it caused a big hornet's nest of comments with people on YouTube arguing back and forth about the topic, should Black Americans forget about slavery? Before I say anything else about a few things I want to talk about, Ms. Gabriella, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm just jet lagged because I just got back from Africa a couple of days ago. So
got back from the motherland, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of ironic that we were talking about slavery because we did go to Cape. We didn't go into the slave castles, but we drove through Cape Coast, and you know that was an area where slaves were shipped out of Africa. So kind of.
On the west coast of Africa, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where a lot of, you know, that's where all the, you know, the hub was at, to ship out of brothers and sisters out of here. But the thing is, you got anything you want to say before we get started, before I say anything, because I'm ready to get into the meat of the topic? Any announcements, anything you need?
Not as of yet. I'll have some announcements next week, but not this week.
All right. Well, I want to let everybody know, December 30th of 2013, Advise Show Media was created. Now, your brother was happy about that. Advise Show Radio is an arm of Advise Show Media. We got a lot of things going on the website. We got to have new redesigned shirts that's going to be done professionally. We're going to have all kinds of things going on. It's good to create your own business, being a Black business owner, support Black businesses. And when you do business, Black people, please be professional. Because I'm going to tell you what, like I said, I held my tongue on YouTube because I know how YouTube videos go. But when you do business with other Black people, stop trying to ask for a discount. Pay the people what they ask for. And if you can't afford it, just wait till you save your pennies. You know, we in business, we got to have a higher customer service anyway. Instead of the bar up due to the fact of we Black and people look at us a certain way. You can call it like you want, but that's just the walk of the Black man and Black woman in America. But on to the topic. Should Black Americans forget about slavery? Now, every single time we bring up this topic about slavery, Black people don't really have an issue about it. But we notice that conservatives have an issue about it. Tea Partiers have an issue about it. Or you just downright racist have an issue about it. They tell Black people, you wasn't a slave. Why you keep talking about it? You think somebody, you know, got to give you something for the rest of your life because your ancestors were slaves. Now, Ms. Gabriella, let me ask you a question. Why they don't tell the Jews that when they talk about the Holocaust, but they tell that to us? Now, let me tell you the number. 6 million Jews died versus over 100 million African slaves. Shouldn't we talk about that just a little bit more? And the Holocaust didn't even happen. I mean, at least their Holocaust didn't happen on American soil. Our Holocaust happened on this soil, and this is considered American history, but when they teach our kids this history in school, it's watered down.
It's washed over. It's like, what, they only get, like, when I was in school, the teacher would literally say, okay, we're going to talk about slavery, and within 10 minutes, the topic was over, and there was only, like, one chapter in the whole book, not even a whole chapter, like, maybe a few paragraphs out of the chapter dedicated to it. And they didn't talk about the beatings, they didn't talk about the rapes, they didn't talk about families being separated, they didn't talk about anything. It was just, oh, okay, people were brought over here, they were forced to work, okay, that's it.
Exactly. And that's the attitude when it comes to the pain and suffering of our African ancestors. Mm-hmm. They went through, you know, beatings, humiliation, they went through torture, they went through rape, male and female got raped. Nobody talk about the males that were raped, the boys that were raped. What you think, homosexuality just started in 2014? No, it's been around for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad to, you know, I remember the movie Roots, and I remember, you know, when the slave master went to, you know, the slave quarters for one of their teenage daughters. And she didn't want to go. And she said, no, Mom, I don't want to go. He's like, no,
and
you
the mom
have to
told
go.
Her to go anyway.
Yeah,
I remember that
go
part.
Anyway. And they, isn't that sad? That you got this, you know, pervert just coming over to take your teenage child so he could sleep with him. See, this is stuff they don't want to hear. This stuff they don't want to talk about. They don't want to hear none of that. All they want to hear is the good things they do. They tell us that, you know, we need to forget slavery, but why come they don't forget 9/11? Why don't they forget George Washington or David Crockett or Thomas Jefferson or any of these people they like to teach us in school? Why didn't we just say, you know what, forget all that, just leave it alone, it's in the past, it is what it is. Why don't we forget about the Civil War? Why don't we forget about that?
Oh, see, that's the funny part. Because they'll sit there and have their little Civil War reenactment parties, and no, I'm not trying to, I don't want to be hit with the racist card, okay? But they'll sit there and have their little Civil War.
Hold on, let me stop you right
there. No, because I'm not,
I know
what
about the racist card.
Say.
Oh, well, no, I just got to stop.
Yes, like I'm going to get called a racist for saying what I'm about to say.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
They'll sit there and have their little Civil War reenactment parties, and they'll be really proud about it, but let black people want to have a slavery reenactment party. It'll probably get national news.
Why? Yeah, it's a thing. And then, like, the situation, they want to say, oh, we want to celebrate our Confederate history and all this other stuff. They be saying, you know, a lot of these Southerners, they be saying, you know, but we want to talk about slavery. We want to talk about the pain of our ancestors. We need to get over it. And to me, that just pissed me off the more I hear that. Like, do you not tell me to get over it? Because, what, you want us to forget about it? Because what they say about history, if you don't teach it and don't remember it, it's doomed to repeat itself. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to have my brothers and sisters in no chains again. That's just not going to happen.
I don't think it could happen anymore.
You know, well, black folks today is just a little bit different than what they were back then. You know, they was afraid. They know where, I mean, think about it. Somebody take you from America right now and throw you in a strange land you do not know, don't speak your language, nothing. I mean, it is a scary thing. I mean, you was in the bottom of a ship, you know, with chains and your neck and feces and
people were throwing up on you.
I mean, just
it was awful. Like, they didn't even talk about that in schools. The fact that there was people stacked on top of each other, people sometimes they wouldn't come in to clean out the bodies for a week, and you would have somebody who would be dead right next to you, and they would have their feces and vomit all over you. And you had to sit like that for months.
And that's sad. But we don't supposed to talk about that. We supposed to like just forget about it. And hey, you know, it's in the past. And they say I never had a slave. You know, so why you want to demonize white people? Who are demonizing white people? Nobody of white people today had a slave. Now one. So why are you taking ownership of what a slave master did? We talking about the past, we're talking about our ancestors. Now, why is it this, and I always ask this question of white men especially, why is it that you feel so guilty of this? Why? You know what I'm saying? Because you never owned a slave. You're right. I agree with you. You never owned a slave. I never been on the plantation either. But why do you feel, especially white men, have a guilt about it? Or what they call white guilt?
That's one thing I don't understand. Like, why would you be upset? Why would you take it as a personal attack if someone just says, oh, it's Black History Month, let's talk about slavery? Why would you take that as a personal attack? No one said you are the one that was responsible for enslaving my family. We're just saying this is a part of our history that we want to remember, and we want to educate our children about it. That's not a personal attack against white people. That's not saying all white people are evil. That's saying the people during that time period did what they did. It has nothing to do with saying that the white people of today are like the white people back then.
Exactly. But they don't get that. They don't get it. They feel it's a personal attack on them. Like, why everything got to be about y'all anyway? Y'all wasn't the one in the slavery. Oh, they say, well, the Irish are slaves. They weren't slaves here. So what are you telling me for?
Yeah.
What you telling me for? I live in America. I don't live in Ireland. If it was Ireland, they shouldn't forget about their slavery then. But I'm talking about American history. That's it. We can't talk about nothing that happened to us. We can't talk about Black Wall Street. We can't talk about, you know, Rosewood. We can't talk about nothing. We got to just leave all that death, destruction, atrocity in the past. You know, Black people always told to do stuff for themselves, and when they have done stuff for themselves, every single time, here come the Klan and the government to destroy what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Period. And now Black people just implode on themselves now, and it's sad.
I mean, I think that's what they want. And one thing I was thinking about was, like, I think they think that we're expecting reparations or something when we talk about it.
Well, what's wrong with that? The American government was behind it. What is wrong with that? Everybody else get reparations. The Vietnamese, when they came over here with the Vietnam War, was getting money from the American government. Because I remember when it happened, when I grew up in Port Arthur, Texas, they was getting their money and they was opening convenience stores, grocery stores, and they was buying shrimp boats. And that's how the Vietnamese people, now they got all kind of money down there in Port Arthur, anywhere near the coast where the Vietnamese people are at. The Japanese got money because of what they did in not Pearl Harbor, but the atomic bomb. They got money for that. Everybody
gets
money.
It wasn't an atomic bomb. It was for the internment camps they put them in.
Well, that too. They destroyed the police. Well, okay, both, whatever. Okay, they got money. They got money. That's all thing I care about. They got money. But yeah, we can't. But let me tell you something I read. Johnny Cochran, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
They say he was getting a team together to sue the United States government for slavery reparations before he died.
Hmm.
And they say right when he was getting it all together, he died. I thought that was strange.
They probably put some poison in his toothpaste.
Hey.
You know how they do?
Hey.
The CIA operatives probably snuck some poison in his toothpaste and he died that morning.
It wouldn't put it past him. Because look at all the stuff they're doing today with the NSA and all that surveillance they're doing to everybody now. I mean, so it wouldn't put it past them, because the thing is, why they do not want Black people to get any kind of, you know, reparation for nothing.
Well, I mean, I think they're scared that Tom Cliche and Tyrone and, I don't know, whatever, Taekwon and all them would take that money and then probably open up a bunch of strip clubs and...
What's the difference with what they do? What's the difference of what they doing with the money? They show destroying the place, aren't they? They ain't making the place better. What's somebody do with the money? It's their choice. I mean, you know what I'm saying? My thing is make it right. My thing is I want Black people to shut up. I say give them the money. Go ahead and give them their reparations so they can be quiet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't think they don't want that, though, because even if we did get the money, that probably would just make us want to speak out against it more, because then we would say, okay, well, now
what other group? But think
money.
About it. What other group in this nation went through the torture and the suffering that we have? And you could say, okay, slavery, but it didn't stop there. I can understand if it stopped at slavery.
It was only up to 40 years ago. I mean, there were segregated bathrooms. This stuff was pretty recent.
Exactly. So... from the time of we got here all the way up until that time, we were suffering. So that's why I can't stand them even. They got old people today that remember even slavery. They got a few that still remember slavery or got grandparents that were slaves or somebody still connected to slavery. They got people that remember. I got family members that remember all of Jim Crow, segregation, the Klan.
I have family members that can tell me all about that, the segregated bathrooms, because they grew up in Birmingham. So, I mean... this is not something that is that far from our history. We still have people that are walking this earth today that could still talk about these things. And yet it's supposed to be forgotten. It's supposed to be just gotten over.
You know, another reason why we should get some sort of reparation, these things were law. It's not like just the Ku Klux Klan's running around just terrorizing Black folks. Jim Crow was law. Segregation was law. You get what I'm saying? I mean, it's these things were illegal. You could not go in certain places or you would be arrested as law. And making it law, making it sanctioned by the government, is make them guilty of it. So you have to recompense for that. But yet, every time we open our mouth about it, y'all just want entitlement. Y'all want entitlement. But why every time that those conservatives, when they get problems, why they feel they're entitled for somebody to help them?
Mm-hmm.
Tea Party people, they feel entitled. But black people can't feel like, hey, you know, look at what we went through.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on. Give me a second. I got one call holding on here. And, brother, I know you're on the line. I get to you. Give me a second here. Area code 773, you on the show.
Hey, what's happening, advice?
How you doing? What's your name?
Good. This is Jason.
How you doing, brother?
All right, doing good. How you doing, Gabrielle? When you bring up the topic of slavery, I can't help but think of it from a psychological point of view. And, you know, I think about, should black people forget about slavery? No, we shouldn't forget about slavery because, you know, slavery was a collective trauma that black people, we as black people, have yet to heal from. And all of the mental illness and terror that we live with today can be diagnosed as a result of some kind of PTSD or can be the acronym of post-traumatic slave disorder, you know. So in therapy, you know, a therapist, anybody struggling or suffering with PTSD, part of the healing process is not to forget the traumatic event, to forget the suffering or the painful memories, but remembrance. Remembrance is a key part of healing through that process. And I don't think that black people have properly healed from the traumas of slavery. So, when I think of the question, should black people forget about slavery, the first thing that pops in my head kind of is, you know, do we even have a proper understanding of how slavery was and how deep and how bad it was, basically. We have this McGraw-Hill, Kunta Kinte kind of vision of slavery, and we just didn't, you know, do we get the raw picture of how bad it was? Just not just black people, but people in general. Do white people, do they learn about slavery? Do they get the chance to learn about those atrocities? One film that I saw that came out in the 70s, that they showed us in college freshman year, it's a film called Goodbye, Uncle Tom.
I've seen that.
It's raw. It's very. I think it was. It's an Italian film, but you know that should be seen. You know, I would show that to my. Maybe it wouldn't be age appropriate, but at least in high school, you know, as an educational tool, you know, to see the kind of sick and twisted sides of slavery. That it wasn't just this, you know, kind of just. Theatrical version of slavery. So,
mm-hmm.
Because
they make slavery
seem
like it's Django nowadays. So,
right, chains and whips, and you know, some of them make it, you know, comedy of it, or
they make it seem like it's cool almost. Like, oh look,
right.
It wasn't even that bad.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Slavery. The thing is, I just feel that. More Hollywood directors, I'm talking about the black ones, they should take more of a role on that. And they don't want to because they want to tap dance. You make your money. We live in a day and time, we don't need nobody's approval to do nothing. If anything, you can put the movie up online. That's the wonderful thing about the internet. You do not have to go through Hollywood to do nothing. You don't have to go through the music industry to do nothing anymore. You don't have to go through television to have your own talk shows, radio shows, nothing. We can do it all online. So we all have the ability to do something, just like them. They have the ability to do something, too, and I don't understand why they don't want to put this stuff out, you know, if you have the capital, of course, to do it. I mean, it does cost money to produce a movie. But it don't have to be the most, you know, grand, you know, special effects type of stuff. I mean, just tell the history. I mean, why can't we have a movie on Black Wall Street? That would be a great movie to see because it'll show you, you know, it encourages black people. You get what I'm saying? To, hey, why don't we return to that? And also show you, you know, what happens every single time that we build something by ourselves in our own little corner.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what people are afraid of, though, because they're like, oh, well, why should I waste my time trying to build something? And then if I know it's going to be destroyed miraculously, like, oh, well, all of a sudden there was a terrorist attack or there was a crazed bomber decided that he wanted to go into the newest version of Black Wall Street. Because that kind of thing probably would happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's I think that might be what people are afraid of.
But see, back then versus now, with Black Wall Street, black people couldn't have guns. Versus now, we can have a gun. We can have concealed handgun permits and everything.
Right.
In some areas, black people couldn't have guns.
Well, they're trying to make guns illegal now. So
That's why I'm against it. I'm 100% against it. And believe it or not, I don't like them folks with the NRA, but I stand with them 100% to keep a gun. I stand with them because the moment they take guns, they're going to take the black man and black woman gun first. I promise you. I promise you that. You know, so do not side with them people talking about taking guns away. Never side with them with that. I'm telling you, because it's not going to end up good for us more than anybody.
And I'm saying
right now, when you talking about guns, I talk to a lot of these white guys, and good luck taking theirs away because they buying ammo like it's crazy. And I asked one of them one time, what are y'all preparing for? And so we preparing for the revolution that's going to happen. They serious about that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I see it, but let us talk like that. Watch where you end up at. Guantanamo somewhere.
Yeah.
Take this other
call. Yeah, because it doesn't make any sense that the government is able to buy all this ammunition, but then they want to take it away from us. So why can't we defend ourselves?
Well, because, see, they want us to end up like Mexico where we can't have guns and then the criminals run around here just terrorizing people. And that's why, sir, think about it. If you have some criminals that's really trying to take over stuff, the citizens get together in this country and just start firing back. You know what I'm saying? People understand, if we built another Black Wall Street, they couldn't just come in and do what they did back in the past because everybody can arm up now. And they got a lot of brothers and sisters. They got military training and everything. It's not the same. Area code 843, you on the show.
Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Yeah, about that, about the talk of the, you know, about the slave and how if people should, you know, talk more about it in class and school. I believe it should because a lot of, you know, the dominant society believes that, you know, it'll push in the white guilt and everything. But also,
and I don't get that. I don't get that. What they say about white guilt. What are you guilty for? You didn't kill nobody. You didn't hang nobody. You didn't chase nobody out of town. So why are you guilty for? Like, did you do something to make you feel guilty? Because usually if I do something wrong and somebody bring it up, then naturally I'm going to feel some sort of guilt to it if I got conscience. Okay?
So why are they feeling guilty? I don't know, because I remember like a year ago, right, when that movie Django Unchained came out and I was in the theater. Like, I was sitting between two white folks, and you know they use the N-word a lot. When they first popped the N-word out, there's one white guy and there's another white kid just looking at me like they're staring at me. It kind of made me feel kind of uncomfortable. Like, I mean, I ain't gonna attack you, and so they say I'm gonna start attacking whites. No, they got kind of scared looking at me, and I told somebody that they told me they just want to know how my reaction gonna look like. I mean, like, you looking at the movie and it's using N-word, I look at it, you know, it's just like that. I don't know if they feel guilty and want to look at me and see if I'm going to lash out on them or not. But I don't know. But what's your reason? Why you think they actually looked at me?
Yeah, because I've been one time we had a conversation about that. Like I said, at work, I was having it with some white guys and one of the guys' lady was there. And we got to discussing that. And you should have seen the look in their face, how they got so uncomfortable. So I said, why are you so uncomfortable? They said, this conversation has made me feel uncomfortable. Why? I say, it's history. It's say nobody's calling each other names. I say, we need to talk about it. And they start saying, well, I just don't feel white people should feel guilty for stuff that happened in the past. I say, well, who said
but
you
yet,
had
but
to?
Yet they, but
who
do
said
a
you
modern
had
myth.
To? I never said, I've never got, trust me, if I felt that way, I get on YouTube or wherever I'm doing something at, and I say, you know, hey, you white folks, y'all need to feel ashamed of yourself. for the stuff you do. I ain't say that. Not one time.
But
so,
at the same time, they don't have a thought of shaming us and have a modern minstrel show like it paint Trayvon Martin's face. I mean, what sense that make? And not only that, but if we are having a couple of blacks commit crime, they will still bring it up, bring back up OJ. They try to let the past be the past, as they always say, don't they? It's the past. I ain't do it. My ancestors do it. I ain't got nothing to do with my ancestors. But yet they're blaming somebody like O.J. Simpson to us, you know.
They still talking about Michael Vick. And that.
Yeah, oh, but hey, you talking about the dog.
Right, and he didn't even hurt no people.
Oh, yeah, you don't hurt no dog. Not in America. Oh, no, I did a video a long time ago that a dog's life is worth more than the
dog's
life in America.
And Ben Roethlisberger.
I need to do a part two
of
that video.
Right. And Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers. But I ain't say all, but some of them, right, they're talking about, you know, leave the past in the past. You know, we need to move on. You know, don't think about that. But when it's convenient for them, they won't bring the past up.
Yeah, they never leave 9/11 alone. I still bring that up. They never leave it alone. Every year, 9/11. Leave it in the past. Leave it all in the past. Why you keep bringing it up? I mean, if we're going to leave stuff in the past, let's leave it all in the past. Let's go ahead and stop talking about it. Teaching our kids U.S. history. We don't even talk about what happened to the Indians either. You know, and the only reason we don't is because the Indians aren't loud about it. But if you research what really happened to the Native American here,
it was
horrible. Horrible what happened.
There's
to
only like 2% of them now. So,
and
you know how they are wiped out? Biological warfare.
Yep.
That's how they are wiped out, with smallpox. Because you know what they were doing to them poor people?
Sorry.
I don't know if you've seen the pictures of it. They were putting smallpox on sheets, contaminating sheets, and they would give them sheets to cover themselves, and that's how a lot of them was getting smallpox. Them Indians never seen no smallpox before, so they're wiping them out. The thing is about biological warfare, it didn't really work on the Africans because the African was highly protected against all that stuff, and they never could figure that out. That's why another thing, now I heard something that was real strange about this organ. I don't know, heard about that organ stealing they doing all over the world? And they had like a lot of black people and black kids getting their organs stolen, and they were saying that like those who steal it feel that black people have some sort of thing in them to keep us alive longer, and that's why they want to steal our organs. I was hearing that, but we'll continue with the. But yeah, I know it's all kind of stuff, man. It'd be out there we talking about.
I was thinking that's kind of sound kind of far fetched. Cause I mean, it's not the way you say it. It's been kind of far fetched when somebody they was talking about that organ stealing. I don't know.
No,
I mean,
what happens? I mean, it's not even just black people. It's something that happens. Sometimes people get kidnapped and you wake up with and your stomach will be hurting and you'll be in a bathtub full of ice. So, I mean, it's a reality of something that goes on, same as human trafficking.
And you know what? And black people ain't doing that. Guess who's the main ones doing that? The main ones. You know who doing the organ stealing? The Jews. I'm going to say the fake Jews. They ain't the real Jews. The fake Jews. They doing it. It ain't in Africa nowhere. And it's not Nigeria or South Africa. No, it's over there. They doing all that organ stealing. The feds just recently caught a bunch of them doing it recently and busted them. But see, when they bust them, it's on the news, but they stay real quiet. But I guarantee you, if there's some black folks stealing organs, it'll be all over the news.
Black person miss a daggone rob a convenience store, that's all over the news. So
it's some messed up stuff. We got another caller coming in. Let's see. You got all ones in your phone, whoever this is. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you got all ones in your phone. How you doing?
Jews didn't steal organs.
Who?
Jews did not steal organs from people.
Okay, what question? Yes, do your research.
Oh,
he didn't want to hear that, huh?
No, there was some type of echo going on.
Yeah, they had an echo going on. Like I said, they don't want to hear that. That's why I rather say that kind of stuff on my radio show. When you start going in like that on YouTube, your videos come down quick.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain topics you can't use on YouTube. You can't go in on the Jews on YouTube. You can't go in on gays on YouTube. And definitely you can't go in too hard on white folks. Your videos
and
will come
Muslims
down.
Either.
Who else?
You can't say anything about Muslims or black women.
Oh, you can talk about black women all day long. You can.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen those videos getting taken down, but you can't talk about Muslims, though. Cause I've seen
not quick as you talk about Jews, I promise you. I can say, look, he come on here saying Jews don't steal organs. Well, why the FBI wasn't busting them? Why is it not it's a big thing if you do your research?
People don't want to do research if us, so people like soundbite information.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the thing is about, you know, slavery, we should not forget that. We should teach our children. I mean, we should buy the movies that we do have, like Amistad. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
Buy that. Rosewood. You seen
the first one?
Amistad.
You seen Amistad?
Amistad, no, I haven't seen that one.
Well, you need to get that one. You seen Rosewood?
Right, I've seen Rosewood. Yeah.
If you haven't seen Rosewood, you need to watch that. Amistad is another one. Trying to think, of course, Roots. We definitely have that movie. Get that one. Let me see, what's another one that came out? Queen. You remember Halle Berry? She played a slave, but she was extremely light-skinned. They didn't know that she was black. And then when they finally found out she was black, you know how they started treating her because they thought she was white? Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah, I heard of it.
Yeah, Queen. See, y'all need to start watching these movies and getting these movies in y'all video collection, order them from Amazon, or if you got to order them, just so you can stay, you know. Now, I heard they got a new movie coming out. Jamie Foxx will be playing Dr. King. Now, I hope that one turns out to be pretty good. Because, you know, he played, you know, real good at Ray Charles.
Yeah.
No. Air code 865, you on the show.
What's up, man? I saw that video about Should We Forget About Slavery. And I got my friend on the phone, too, as well. He can put his two cents in. I don't think we ever forget about the slavery because, like, it's like if the Jews forget about the Holocaust and there's so much damage being done, and then, like, you know, they got the constant religious views of Jesus was white, man, Jesus was that. But he even says in the Bible, you know, his hair was as thick as, you know, wool, you know what I mean? His skin was bronze.
Well,
so that's like,
you know,
that would make a mockery.
When it comes to that, you know, Megyn Kelly actually brought all that up, which was good from Fox News.
Yeah.
And everybody now knows Jesus wasn't white. Everybody knows that. But any theologian would know that too.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they
I
don't understand why they would think he's white, but even then, why is it such a big deal?
Well, let me explain something. There was a video, Ms. Gabriella, that I saw a long while ago. It was a white lady and a black lady. And she was saying, the white lady was saying that they used during slavery, Jesus to line themselves up to be godlike. So they would teach the slaves that Jesus was white, so they would think, oh, whites are more godlike, they're more superior because Christ was the same race as them, and we just these cursed black people who are slaves. And they believed that without research, and it mind-screwed a lot of the slaves, and that's why even to this day some black folks think that they're actually lower than white people. Some of them do think that way. In the way they act, and in the way they respond.
And
no,
black,
what'd you say, brother? No, hold on,
wait,
one at a time. What'd you say, brother? John McSwain?
Yeah, I was about to say, it's not only that, too. You got some of our own people tend to forget about, but I'll do basic research. You know, my heart goes out to our people out there. Like, we know that Jesus was a person of color, and if you read the scriptures real well. But it's like, it's not like that, too. Like, our people should not be. I was talking to a brother today, or a supposed brother. He said, man, we should forget about slavery. We should focus on getting money. You know, a brother now told this to me. I'm saying, this is a young brother, maybe about 21, 22 years old. He said, man, who cares about slavery? I care about making money. Selling drugs.
And that's when you tell them you wouldn't even be in a position to get money if it wouldn't be for your ancestors.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all
that's
hanging out,
like,
you doing on the corner
right
all day?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have been doing that back in the day. He wouldn't.
Nope.
Nah.
That was funny.
See, like, that's where they get it confused because, like, I'm 21 and I hear that same thing all the time. They always diss to our ancestors and be like, boy, it's not really a big deal because, like, it was in the past. And I was like, it is a big deal. Like, nobody really knows the true teachings of Malcolm X, you know what I mean? Or they really go back to as far as, like, Shirley Chisholm. But everybody just knows the basics, you know what I'm saying? You know, advise us, just like you said, like, they wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those teachings and our ancestors teaching this. Because so many people seem like they just wrapped around money, you know what I mean? But it's more
than
that.
And that's stupid. Why are you believing in this system, of all systems to believe in, when the way it's going right now? Don't you realize this country's broke? You better learn how to make money on your own. You better learn. And the problem is, you dependent on rapping. You dependent on this. Let me tell you something about that rapping stuff. A lot of
rappers
black people
are broke.
Dependent on. That's over with. And I'm telling you why the rap game is
the
over.
The money's off from the record company.
The money, no, artists every day is not even fooling record labels no more. Even Manny Fresh said that record labels gonna be obsolete in like 10 years. Nobody gonna sign to them because everybody doing it on their own. They don't need them anymore, and they just fooling everybody.
Yeah.
Knows that. Okay. Then we need to have our own stuff, start our own businesses. You know how good I felt when I actually, you know, got my business started? I mean, I felt great, man.
I
said,
I respect that. I respect that.
Put your money where your mouth is. You get what I'm saying? And it is some perks having your own business and getting your stuff started and adding your other income. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do with having your own business. It's just nothing but room to grow. But it's one thing to talk about stuff. It's another thing to be about it. And how I always felt like this. It would be a shame to my ancestors if I don't be successful. Because why did they die for? Why did they suffer for on those plantations? Why did, you know, my ancestors hung on those trees? You know, why some of the sisters were raped and all this other stuff that happened to them, and we don't do nothing with the freedoms that we have?
Instead, that's right. So it's just that instead of the slave master oppressing us now, you got some of your own. Guess who's the new slave master? Our own. Like these folks on the corner, they're our slave masters now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you can't go anywhere without little Ray Ray or little Pookie out there with a gang. You know, they're oppressing our elderly. They're oppressing our.
Yes, they are.
They're the new slave masters now.
Yeah, they are. That's why I do not blame no white people in this day and time for any slavery because they didn't do it. And they don't get that. But the thing is, I speak more, and the people ask me, why you say so many videos to the black community and talk about black issues, and, you know, other people have to deal with the same issues, too. I understand that. Really, I do. But the fact is, at the end of the day, you know, I see a whole lot of issues within our community. I do. And some of these issues are a little bit more magnified in our culture versus others. And I relate more to our culture. Do me being a black man, I grew up, you know, black parents, black neighborhood, all this other stuff. Okay? So I have to talk about these issues. And what people don't understand, the bulk of my audience is African American also. And that's what they don't get. You know, now you can listen to what I'm talking about, it's fine. But hey, you know, it's, and I have to talk about these issues because I'm sorry, I'm not going to get on, you know, I'm looking at my platform starting to grow. And I don't want to be up here all of a sudden stop tap dancing for Massa. For some views and for some money. I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it.
Toilet and everything else.
I am not doing it. I feel I should, you know, talk about the issue. Do what?
I think we as black people in general, we just need more knowledge of ourselves. Because once we get that knowledge of self, we can relate to all people and all people's struggle.
Exactly. We don't need to depend on anyone. Because if you depend on someone, you just constantly just going back to the original statement.
Now, I got to tell you a funny story. I got to call it, but I'm going to tell you a funny story. When I educated some white people about what they actually came from us and how shocked they were when they found out and accepted it as truth. But I'll talk about it after this call. Area code 864, you on the show.
Probably a walk a tour.
Excuse me?
He's probably some clone or some type of troll.
No, some people just don't want to, you know, maybe not want to talk, and that's fine. I mean, some people just want to listen. I was, you know, mute them back out. But, you know, we were having a discussion about, you know, black people being the original people. And we were discussing, you know, scientifically how, you know, white people actually came from us and explaining the history of how that happened. And so, you know, we was having that discussion. They're like, nah, that's not true. And so I showed them a few pictures of black people with white babies. And they were freaking out that black people darker than me having white babies. And I explained to them how they came about, why they was in the Caucasus Mountains and everything. And they was like, that is a trip. I said, do the research. I said, you could do even the genetic research. Even the National Institute of Japan have all the genetic research about, you know, the different races and how, you know, we embody every DNA that's on the earth, which is on three races, actually. But we embody it all. And every last other race also have our DNA in them because we are the original people. And right, black people need to accept that. We didn't come from slaves. You know, that's why I like that video. You remember that Michael Jackson video, Remember the Time? Remember that video?
Yeah.
And it had, you know, Eddie Murphy, and it had Iman. Remember that model Iman sitting in that throne area? And it just, it looks so good to see that, you know, because that's exactly where we come from. But it's like we don't want to remember anything like that. That's why for me to see we come from that to this crap you see in the day, no.
Because people think that for some reason, people are thinking that black history begins and ends at slavery for some reason. And they don't want to think about what happened before then and what was happening at the same time that slavery was going on. Nobody even thinks about that either. It's like, oh, well, black history is just slavery. But what about the golden age? What about, I mean, I've even talked to African people before, and I've told them about different things in African history, and they were shocked, which I thought was crazy because they don't even teach that in school.
And you know what? You know what? Now, I'm going to tell you something.
It's been robbed by imperialism and colonialism by Europeans.
Yeah, that's another aspect, too.
But also, let me tell you something else. You know who's? Do you know who's responsible for putting the gun in the European's hand?
The Asians.
We did.
Nope.
Chinese.
Nope.
We did.
The Moors. The Moors is the one that put a gun in a European's hand because they got it from the Chinese. And we taught them actually how to use it. And it's been to our detriment.
Sure, we even taught them how to use the toilet. They didn't. You know, they didn't know how to do nothing. They were
a lot. People don't understand. People came to Egypt to get all the education, to get war training, to get everything. We was the one came up with embalming. We came up with everything. You know what I'm saying? And nobody likes to talk about the inventions that we've done in this country. Everything you look, a lot of things you're looking at, you would not think a black man, a black woman invented it. Like, you would have never thought that a black woman invented the home security system. They wouldn't tell you that. You know what I'm saying?
They wouldn't say that the Egyptians were like, or they say they make it look like they're somewhat white, and they try distance from Africa, saying this.
But I'm
here in Africa. But and then I had a girl, like a black, you know, a couple of black even told me, they even asked questions. Well, look, they asked me, Egypt not in Africa, it's in Asia. So I said, it is in Africa, and they had to go and ask questions. Somebody said, oh no, it's in Africa, and they got shocked, and they're black folks saying that.
Yeah.
A lot of black people don't really study. All they look at is Worldstar Hip Hop, Facebook. If it's not on Facebook or Worldstar, if Q don't put it up and his people, a lot of people won't see it. Okay, that's just the bottom line.
Exactly.
Maybe here and there people see it, but you know, I mean, like I said, I ain't got no issue with Q from Worldstar. I really don't, because having my own website, I actually respect that he built that. Because it's not easy to build a website like that. It's really not. Even though he got the most basic platform, still, he built the traffic up on how he did it, and it is what it is. A lot of people get at him about, you know, his site and whatever else, but the only thing about WorldStar, it's kind of easy to really find those videos when people are putting them on Facebook every day. I mean, people making a dude a lot of money, but, you know, that's another situation about...
That's what we call entrepreneur. So I may have beef with WorldStar Hip Hop, but you can't hate the guy for his money. I mean, like, you're the one that posted up there, and he and the only difference is you're not getting paid, but he is.
Exactly. People don't understand that. It's like, I don't get mad at somebody that's getting paid. I really don't. I mean, you see a niche, you capitalize on it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's being smart. I'd rather him capitalize on it than some white dude coming up trying to capitalize off of what black folks are doing, like he's been doing for ever since we've been here.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, I'm not mad.
And I think, you know, he also knows that, and which makes sense. And we need we as black folks need to get off on that, get out of that. We don't if they would have put like Black History on WorldStar or any kind of site where or Facebook where people look at, they wouldn't look at it because it's not entertaining. People love to see people drama. I mean, black people love to see fight drama.
That's not true.
Kind of,
black people are famous for
that's
that.
Not true.
I mean, not
brother,
all
that's
of
not
a lot
true.
Of,
That's not true, because right now I can go to my video where I put up about Black Wall Street, and people actually watched it, and people liked that video. Let me see how many views that one actually got. People watch the videos. You just got to...
But not as much, though.
Well, no, they won't watch it as much as some other ones I've had hit, but, you know, like I said, it's still good to see that, what, it got, what, 12,000 views? Hey, that's good for a Black History video.
That's awesome.
You know? Right. I mean, it's not 100,000, but, hey, it's a start. At least 12,000 people got educated on Black Wall Street, at least. That's how I look at it. And it's not just Black people that saw that. I mean, whites even saw it, too. I mean, they watched the video. I mean, that's good they got educated. A lot of white people don't even know about that. Give me a second. I got a call sitting here. Area code 912, you on the show.
Yeah, I saw the topic, and I wanted to comment, and I'm sorry I'm getting in late. But as far as the question was, should we forget about slavery? I don't think that we should ever forget about slavery. I mean, you know, that it happened, and I don't think that, you know, we can never forget about that no more than the Jewish can't forget about the Holocaust. But at the same time, I don't think that we should be use that as a crutch, and too many of us are using it as a crutch. You know, everything that
goes on. Okay, so give me an example of somebody using slavery. I mean, everybody, hold on. Give me an example of somebody using slavery as a crutch.
Well, if you go on, which I have made up my mind, you know, this year I wasn't going to look at so many other negative videos on YouTube. I have too many other positive things to do to waste my time with that foolishness. But some of the comments, when you go in and you look at some of the comments, you know, some of the things, some of the people will say stuff like, you know, well, we can't make it in society because, you know, the white person won't hire me, or this or that or the other, you know, either they, all this stuff is always brought up about feminism and all this kind of stuff. You know, if you want to, anything that you want to do, you have to set yourself and set your mind to it. And if you can't get hired in corporate America, go out and do your own thing.
That's right there, sister. Right there, what you said. Go out and do your own thing.
My husband, when he retired military, he decided, and I did too, that he went to work for a while, you know, but he decided that, you know, that he wanted to do his own thing, and I support it, and that's what we do. And people see, a lot of us, we want things right now. You know, when you first start out in your own business, it is going to be a little tough sometimes, but you just have to stay, you have to believe in yourself and stick with it. And so, and until you do succeed, and that's why I'm always puzzled when people always say, well, you know, if they don't want to hire you, why not go out and do your own thing? Create your own wealth. And, you know, and that's what we're missing. We, you know, I read that video, I think it was you put it up or something, last night when it was talking about that, I had already read it before, about how many trillions of dollars goes through the Black American hand, but it only stay in our hand for 6 hours before we spend on selling stuff like $500 Jordans. You know, that's just crazy. You know, that is just crazy. You know, we don't invest our money. You know, I just got knowledgeable of this other, you know, guy, Black guy, was talking to me and my husband about, you know, the stock market, playing the stock market, you know, how do you invest in good stock and stuff like that. You know, we became interested in that and started doing that. There's so many different ways that we can make our money work for us, but we take our money and just, we want to spend money on things that just don't bring any value. Now, I'm not saying, you know, it's not good to have nice stuff, but when you get to the point where you just continue to work all the time, you know, and our whole mindset is set on the, you know, just working for the rest of our life and then not leaving an inheritance to our kids.
You know, sister, this is the thing about that working and all the other stuff for other people. You know, I just kept looking at that, and I said, I can't do this. I can't do this the rest of my life. I cannot work for somebody else for the time 65, 70, and I get a little penny-ante retirement, and I'm sitting at my house waiting to die. I can't do that.
Well,
another thing. It's another thing with that. You don't, when you have your own business, and that's why I push to create my own business, like you say, have your own lane. You don't have to deal with no racism or discrimination, because guess what?
Exactly.
It's my own company.
And you're your own boss. And you're
that's right.
your own boss.
But
I
the
mean,
thing, not everybody can do it, though. That's the problem. Some
but,
people.
But
as
you know what, Miss Gabriella? You're right.
But
not everybody has
not
that
can.
Mindset. But
exactly.
those who do have the mindset, like you know, at least somebody like myself, as I grow, I'm gonna start hiring people to do this, hiring people to do that. Okay? And that's the point I want to get to. One of my main goals in business is to be successful, but also hire these brothers coming out of the jail that can't get a job or some mm-hmm. stupid felony. Well, like, and they that's how they end up going back sometimes. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? 'Cause these brothers can't feed themselves.
Yeah. I remember advising when yeah. you did that case about the ice cream man. He was that felony, and he had his own ice cream truck. That was a perfect example when you did the video of that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like how you expect a man to feed himself? I mean, he got to work, and you,
gotta
I mean,
survive, exactly.
He got to survive. I mean, what you if he can't eat, what are you gonna do? You're not gonna give him food stamps like you're giving him females. So what is he gonna do? You get what
exactly.
I'm saying? Anyway, you know, I mean, let me see. I got another call holding on here. Let's see here, which one? Erico 484, you on the show?
Hey. My name is Keith. I'm not. I've been tuned into you for a little bit now. You know, I'm young. I'm just turned 18 recently, and I've been turned on to your videos. You know, I'm always willing to listen to wisdom from an older man. So
I
wanted
old
to say
now,
this,
but okay.
I mean older than me. I mean, you got a bit more
yeah,
experience
I'm
in
old,
the world
I'm
than
old,
me.
I'm older than you, right? I'm older than you. I'm 34. I'm older than you.
Yeah, but you know, I was one of the things that I was interested in saying is like I think that they haven't necessarily while Black history isn't necessarily put at a forefront, which is one of the topics earlier on, but I'd say they've gotten better at it than they were probably when a lot of people were coming up before. Like when we don't even necessarily have to get into Black History Month. I mean, maybe it was just me and the fact that I had a great teacher, white lady too. She was willing to go in depth about you know, slavery, what was going on with it, and you know, and even things of the nature of the Indians. And I want to say that it's gotten a lot better, even though it's not necessarily fully there yet, because it's not necessarily standard. And I think that's one of the things that might need to happen if you want people to not forget. We gotta figure out how to make this part of the standard curriculum.
We don't have to depend on this American education system, because this American education system really sets to program you a certain way. It really don't program you for business creation. It doesn't program you to be wealthy. Only thing they program you to do is have a few education, go college to go work for somebody to retire and die. If you think about it,
you gotta
step out the box.
You should read this book called Rich Dad Poor Dad. I don't know if you ever heard of that book.
I've heard of that book.
I've actually heard of that. I haven't gotten to read it myself. I wish I need to.
It's a very informative book. I mean, it talks about the, you know, I'm not going to tell you all about it, but it talks about everything. Yeah, it tells you about how to.
You got an echo system somewhere. Somebody got turned
off. It's your system.
No, somebody has the show turned up. If you got the show turned up on your computer, just turn it down so we won't hear the echo.
But it talks about you know it how this, the it, we are taught to, and like Gabrielle said, not everyone is going to be able to be entrepreneurs. But every one of us, even we need to be able. And I follow this other lady on YouTube. She's so inspirational, just like you have advised. But I like how she talks about creating passive income, where you need to have income that's coming in outside of your regular just income. Even if something else that you can do, you know, anything that you can do where you have other income. But back to this book, it talks about how we are taught to go to school. You know, then the poor dad was taught to go to school, go get a job, work for someone else. And but the mindset that was totally different of the rich dad, that was taught to, you know, to invest, to create wealth, how to create wealth. I mean, it's a really, I mean, the book is really good. I mean, I would advise, you know, y'all to go, you know, to download it for Amazon, what have you, but it's a really good book.
Yeah, I've heard, like I said, I've heard about it. You know, like I said, I may have to check that book out, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I heard that the guy is very successful with that particular book. This is a thing, you know, you're talking about the business creation, not everybody can do that. Well, those who are doing it, let's support those who are doing it. Let's support those who are growing businesses and actually doing something for the people. Because I'm going to say something. I saw a figure. It's freaking me out on Facebook. They say in the black community, every Sunday, black people give an average of $250 million worth of money to their churches and tithes. And yet, you don't see nothing done in the community. Now, it is sad when I'm getting messages from people that say, you know, your videos actually help me more than the pastor preaching at my church. That's sad because nobody turns in tithes to me at all.
Can you imagine, like, advice, so can you imagine what you can do with $250 million as black people? You know, we can regenerate these low, dilapidated houses that we see on the corners.
$250 million?
Yeah.
I would start a new Black Wall Street with that. You better believe that. I create a subdivision. That.
That'd
be the first step.
I mean,
you can
I'll be my own, like, Silicon Valley with that. I'm a computer guy as well. Uh-huh. I told you on Facebook advice. So I'll be the first one to help your business in Black Wall Street succeed in the computer world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's what I can do with $250 million, create my own Black IBM. Create some, like, hire brothers and sisters together. We can get this thing off the ground. We can help young people. Instead, you can, you know, $250 million is, may not be a lot of money in this economy, yes, but if you have wealth.
Oh, it's a brother. It's a lot of money if you know what to do with it.
Yeah.
It is a lot of money. Now, if you're up here trying to see, these young kids are attracted to success, and that's a good thing. If we become successful and they see us as business owners doing the right thing, doing the positive things, and they see us driving S-Class Mercedes and having these expensive suits and having money, they were like, man, what you doing? You know, that then they're going to come up to you and want to say, hey, well, teach me how to do it. But, you know, all these kids see Lil Wayne with his dumb self. You know what I'm saying?
They want that fast money. That's the thing. And Lil Wayne don't have that much money.
I want to say,
people like Lil Wayne is broke. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on, one at a time. One at a time.
As a young person, I would say
this. Don't have that much money when you think about it, because they what they do is they go and they lease cars for $1,000 a month. They rent houses, and they get most of the clothes they get and jewelry they get are donations from companies that are just looking for advertisement. So it's not like they really have that much.
No.
I would like to see more black billionaires, because the billionaires out those are the people with all the real resources and that can really do things.
And actually, they do have, believe it or not, if you research, do the research on the world's billionaires, and there's a lot of black people there. Matter of fact, they said a woman in Nigeria actually surpassed Oprah Winfrey on being the richest black woman in the world. So they got black folks with money. Black men is billionaires, too. It freaked us out. Me and another brother was researching the billionaires. And there's a lot of black people on that you never heard of.
But
yeah,
how come they don't help us, though?
Do what?
How come they don't help us? You know what I mean? All the billionaires that we make, like they have a moral obligation to help us.
Yeah,
because
I was reading there are about 1,400 billionaires, and only 7 of them were African, black.
Right. But I think also that we have a kind of a skewed view of what success and wealth is. I mean, going back to the church thing, I mean, in my neighborhood here on the south side of Chicago, 2 blocks, there'll be 5-10 churches. Not one business,
you know why?
Not one restaurant, not one place that we can.
But do you know how those churches get started?
Through nonprofit,
donations. No. You know why those churches? Why we have so many churches? You understand why?
Because they want to collect money.
Okay. No. It's not that. I'm explaining to you why we have so many churches. Okay. we can't even stay unified even in the church. That's the main issue is unity. What happened is they don't like something Pastor so-and-so said, so Deacon so-and-so gets pissed off and say, you know what, I'm going to leave and start my own
church.
And they have all these different church splits, and they have all these churches branch off. Now, what a lot of black people don't realize, and they don't understand, I thought about this when I was coming home today, is that how is it that you got your preacher in your church house looking like a million bucks, but you struggling, and you have no issue with that? It'll be like equivalent to me being a husband, being a leader of my household. I'm driving, like I said, a Bentley. I got all these expensive clothes on, jewelry. I'm eating at fine restaurants, but my wife and kids, they are driving in a beat-up car, barely moving, wearing rags, and yet I'm supposed to be the leader of the house. Wouldn't people look at me and say, what's wrong? What's wrong with this picture? Why is that man looking like that?
They'll be questioning you. They'll be like, what's going on? What's the motives of your...
What is your malfunction, dude? Like, well, you're selfish. You don't help your family. You don't do this. You don't do that. Well, if that would look strange if I did it, why does it not look strange when these pastors do it? Then the people ask even for help with a light bill. And, I pray for it.
I mean, especially where I'm coming from, in a homeless shelter and stuff, like, I see no pastors in there. And where I'm from in the Tampa Bay area, it's like you said, I pray for you, brother. But there's a lot of people going homeless, folks. People can eat ramen noodles every day, you know? And we found out that the unemployment checks are not coming through.
And, it's sad, I just say to myself, just let me have a couple of million dollars. You know what kind of scholarships to these children that want to go to school, these children that are so smart, as in these neighborhoods, just need a help. I mean, it's so many things that I want to do. Like, it just makes me upset that I can't do it, like, right now because you need a capital. It's capital that makes it move. You can say, you can try this, you can try that. You can say that all day long. But until you have the capital to get these things done, you're not going to get them done. That's just bottom line. And when it comes to trying to help our brothers and sisters that's really trying to do this stuff, that's when we hold our pocketbooks. So we all lining up and fighting people over Jordan. We fighting people over that. Some of our sisters are really making sure they pay their weave bill and all this other stuff. Yeah. But it's the truth, because black men with that and some sisters with, they'll sit up there and tell you, I pay $1,500 for my weave. Like, okay.
$1,500
I mean, because like I said, it's both of us that's really throwing this money, wasting money in the community. It's not just one or the other. But anyway, let me get to some of these calls that I have sitting here holding on. Eric Cole 267, you on the show? Hello? Eric Cole 267. All right. No answer, got to move on. Erico 510, you on the show.
Hello, how are you?
How you doing?
I'm fine. I hear what you're talking about in the topic today, and I had a few points I really wanted to share. I think they're quite important.
Okay.
One of the problems that we have as African-American people, and this is when we're looking at even the topic or the subject that you have, is there's a difference between us remembering those things that have happened to us, those negative things historically in the United States of America, and then using those as a crutch today every time someone feels like they're unable to accomplish something. And I think that's where, at least among us in our community, where things get blurred, the line gets blurred.
Some people do like to use, even racism, to prevent, say, oh, well, I can't do that. Because I'm going to tell you something. When I was sitting up there in the county office, getting my stuff taken care of, getting my business started, ain't nobody white was holding me back from doing it. Actually, white people was helping me and congratulating me. I went to the bank, opened up my business account. White people was happy. They was congratulating me. So nobody was holding me back. White people was happy I was opening my business. So congratulations. Good luck. So I don't blame nothing on nobody. You know, if you're not successful, it's because of you.
Yeah.
Right. But the other part of this is that for those of you who've gone to college out there, and I remember being on a college campus, I often found, at least in my particular school, that members of what was called the Black Student Union, it's like you have these kids that come in as freshmen, and all of a sudden everybody's become a Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X individual. Before, before they lived in an all-black neighborhood, many of them lived there. Things were fine. Once we get to campus, now we want to be militant. Now we don't like any other white people. We want to socialize, and we don't want to do anything. And one of the things, I only lasted in that for about a year because I realized that if this is all we're going to be doing is sitting around, you know, it's not one thing to educate.
Down and stuff like that.
Yep, educate ourselves, learn ourselves to do that. But what I found, I live in California, but what I found is that you have all kinds of groups, you know, ethnic groups of students. They've got business clubs going on. They've got all these sort of ways to network, outreach, and, help to improve themselves, even on a college campus. And I'm looking and saying, well, what are we African Americans doing on the campus? And that's not what we're doing. What we're doing is wanting to invite people in to speak to us, to, you know, remind us more, not to say that we don't need to know, but to fill us more with a little bit of anger, because this is what happens to some of us when we get to college campus. We get there, we get very angry, particularly if we didn't grow up in the lifestyle that some of the other students did. So we see some white kids who have some money, and we have our own anger and resentment about things in our own life if you didn't come from a successful family or anything. And so we transfer that onto some people who could, you know, be a help, a friend at the same time. And then the other part of it is that then we decide to police other black people on campus. So every African-American person who doesn't, decide he just wants to talk to the black people only, if you want to spread out, then you look at them and you say, well, there's something wrong with you. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to have this feeling. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember. It's just like these black student unions are a waste of time. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I used to be a member of this black student union myself here in the Tampa Bay area on campus. I'm not going to name the campus. But it's just like people keep saying to me, why ain't John McSwain, like, militant enough? I'm saying, you know, I come to realize, brother, is that life's too short to get pissed off at the world. You know what I mean? Life is too short to get pissed off, especially... I've been talking to Latinos, I've been talking to Asians, people of different backgrounds, like, how you guys, Mr. Stuff? So how can I learn from some of your traits and they gave me the skills that I know how to build to get where I am? I mean, I'm almost in the school, I'm about to major in computer science, I'm about to have my 2 certifications in IT, in Cisco systems, and I'll be taking my internships. And then you got these same Negroes, right, who are in the student union said, oh, you joined a white man's army. Or I never joined, but they said, I thought about joining the military. Oh, you joined a white man's army. And I counteract them and said, so your alternative is for me to be on the street, you sell his liquor, you sell his drugs, you don't own the block, you don't own nothing, but yeah, still you want me to say the white man's this, the white man's that. The white man. Well, how about our people oppress each other? How about that one?
I would say that if it is, because I've heard that you joined the white man's army thing, and this is what I say, look, let me see what you got in your arsenal. I look at the arsenal, you ain't got nothing in the arsenal. Why am I going to be on the side of the losing team? Not saying I'm going to join white people. Why am I going to be inside the losing team? What I'm going to do is I'm going to find the black people out there in the community who are looking to build their arsenal, who are looking to, you know, build that sort of community. And that essentially is what is where I say I end up going. That's the direction I'm going in. Because at this point in the game, you know, for us, I mean, we've either got to, you know, and I say, you know, individually, because I think you have to do it all individually first, but we've got to individually figure out, you know, not just what it is that we need to do, you know, as individuals, but even as a community to move forward. If we're looking at the community and we're saying what's being gentrified, you have to look at, well, what are all the reasons? It isn't that a bunch of white people sat in a room and said, hey, we want that black neighborhood back, come and get it. You learn things like people who inherit the houses from their families, they sell it for $200,000 or $300,000 because they've never seen that money before, and they want it in their hand, and that's more important to them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing with a lot of black people. You get money, and you want all this cash money in your hand, and act like you never had nothing. You know, like that boy that killed his mama for that money.
Oh, Lord.
You know that story?
And then he made it rain, and he was talking about giving back to the community.
You know, that boy, I mean, that woman, let me tell you what I did in the research. doing the research on that particular story, because I did a video about that, and I'm going to upload it when I get time. I got so many videos I need to take care of. This woman had $90,000 in her bank account. She was a, you know, hairstylist. She had her own salon. I mean, so she was a black business owner, okay? Plus, she had a 2 life insurance policies. So, you know, this horrible, you know, individual of a son, you know, contributed to his mother's death. And how could you walk around making it rain and all this other, buying, you know, new Lexus and tricked out, you know, Mustangs and all this other stuff? I mean, just like you were saying earlier, these youngsters, you know, they just want it just fast. They don't want to work for it. The mama worked to get her $90,000 in her bank account doing hair. That's not an easy job, standing on your feet all day doing women's hair. But they don't want to work hard and get nothing. They don't want to work hard being rappers.
Yeah, and like you said about that guy who killed his mama like that, he was evil and wicked. You know what I mean? But that's the price. But you should not tell your kids about certain stuff about money. You know what I mean? This is what happened.
Yeah, you shouldn't have told them. But then he sat there and was making it rain in the hood, and he was calling that giving back to the community, which I thought was ridiculous, because instead of just throwing money at people that really, I'm not saying that everyone in the hood or anyone who comes from a working class neighborhood is not smart and doesn't know how to manage money, but if you just throw money at people, that's not going to really help them in the future. Why, if you really want to help the community, if you want to call yourself giving back to your community, why not make a community center so the little kids can have some place to go to hang out that's safe?
Well, you know what? You know, I'll be the bad guy, and I'm going to say this. Most black people don't know how to manage money. You know why? Because we were taught to survive, not to thrive. That's the difference. When you're just thinking, you're trying to just put food on your table, you're not taught how to manage money a certain way. It's the truth. And then when you do get some money, and you become, you know what, here in the next few days, next 2 weeks or so, you're going to have them income tax ballers acting a fool over $2,000 or $3,000, maybe $5,000. Like, oh, wow, $5,000 or $7,000. Oh, that's going to last you all year. And then they don't even catch up on their stuff. They're just acting a fool going to the club, you know, buying hoes. You know, I mean, it's just all kind of things they do, Jordans. And then they look up, they ain't got none of that $7,000 they got. They broke again, trying to ask somebody for some gas money.
Ain't that the truth, man? It's just that, you know, like, what they call it, ghetto lottery. It's like,
yeah,
that's sad.
It's like, you know, it's like, I shake my head at them and say, man, I thank God that, you know, things I've done, I don't have to be looking for no income tax. Shoot, man, I be trying to avoid the tax man because I ain't even trying to pay him. I've been trying to get all my deductions.
But the thing is, here's the thing, advice. So here's something I was talking to a guy, or, you know, like you said about income tax money and stuff like that. I remember when I got my income tax debt, I saved that money. But this guy told me, he said, oh, man, how come you don't go to the clubs? How come you don't buy this new Jordans and stuff? I said, look, man, I'm saying this for a rainy day fund. And then this brother and this sister said, oh, you acting white, huh? You're a white person now, huh?
Oh, don't get me started on that.
And that's the ones who are the slaves. Those are the ones who are the slaves.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I'm going to keep saying that.
Well, you know, I can tell you, I had one of my cousins, and my cousins, we grew up in exact opposite lifestyles. So when he graduated from high school and he kind of moved into California where I was, he would work and keep a job, you know, and was going to community college. But he always put his money into buying, you know, the most expensive hip-hop gear, obviously the Jordans and the shoes like that. And eventually, after maybe 5 years of this, you know, I finally had a conversation with him and said, if you really want to go somewhere, you need to change it. So we spent this, like, whole day preparing for him to clean everything out of his closet that he had and then said, he was going to get a new job, and he got a new job. You're going to buy new clothes. So I had to help teach him the difference is that if you buy this dresser, if you really want to spend money, if you're going to buy this dresser that's $150, that dresser is going to last you 5, 6, 7 years. Your waist not going to change that much. That's more important, things you can keep if you're going to need that material you can keep, you can use over and over again, than having the latest fad, having the latest thing just to show people that you've been able to spend some money. And, I drive. But for years, I mean, I live in the Bay Area, and we have, like, a subway system. I didn't drive for years because I needed to save that money.
Yeah. I mean, like,
I'm a firm, Well, listen, this is what I want to say. I'm a firm believer of when I spend money, I appropriate it right. That's me.
Like Homer.
Like, you know, me and my wife, man, we about to go down this road trying to get this certain house that we want, and I'm not taking no for an answer. You know, I got a big family. I got a lot of kids. You know, we got a modern-day Brady Bunch. Shoot, we get all our kids together, and with this new one coming, we'll have 5 kids. And then me and my wife, too. So I need that 5-bedroom house, you know, with a game room so I can have my studio because that's how I make my extra money. But the thing is, you know, I will have no issue paying for that. But I'm not about to sit up here and go spend thousands of dollars on no doggone tennis shoes. That ain't happening because I'd rather have something I can look up and say, you know what, I got a piece of property. If I look up, I can sell that property. I can flip that property. I can do all kind of stuff, you know, with having some sort of asset. But a lot of black folks don't think like that. They just want to just have a good car. How is you got a good car to pull up to an apartment?
Not even apartments. I know down here there's people that are pulling up apartments to shacks, basically, or pulling up fancy cars to shacks is what I meant to say. They have, like, the Escalade, and yet their house is, like, the size of a 2-bedroom apartment. That makes no sense.
And that'd be the main ones that say, yeah, it's because of slavery, man, and then white folks.
The white man holding me down.
White folks holding me
down. No, you're holding your stupid self down by buying stuff you don't need. But then you see the people that come. Like, there's this whole area, downtown Raleigh, and it's just nothing but just a really poor black community. And every single one of them is walking around with the latest designer shoes, designer girls got the Michael Kors bags, and the guys got the Jordans on. But they're basically living in squalor. But they look like they have a lot of money from their outer appearance, which is crazy.
But how?
They go to the club and throw
$1,000. Miss Gabriella, I got a question. How do they look like they have a lot of money? Are they driving a Audi? What Audi is that? That's one of 6 figures. Are they driving an S-Class Mercedes? Are they driving a Bentley? No, they're not driving none of them. And how do they look like they got money? They got tennis shoes, what, some sagging pants? They're not.
That's not what I'm
those...
saying. I'm just saying, like, they spend all their hard on.
They
try to look like they have something.
They're hood rich.
The hood
rats get impressed by that.
Open. I'm not impressed by it. I think it's foolish to sit there and be like, there was a guy who used to live in my apartment complex. I think he got evicted, but he had a Mustang, and every day he looked so depressed because he was carrying a bag lunch to go work at some little probably minimum wage job, but he was driving a Mustang. So
that's black folks. We'll go buy a car now. Oh, we'll go buy an expensive car.
Yeah,
we won't have a place to stay.
Well, it's just not like that. We don't have a place to stay. It's just the fact that you got our people, like, my dad taught me this very well. Think how to thrive, not to survive. Think of more of a middle class person than to survive. Think ways to find wealth, not to survive. Like, think ways. Live within your means. Hold your money for a rainy day. And yeah, you got all these black folks in the Tampa Bay area telling me I'm wrong. Oh, brother, you're wrong, man. Start living up for the day. What's wrong with having, like you said, the Jordans and stuff? Why can't I?
Turn up.
You know, I'm just saying, boy, in the neighborhood I'm living in, I'm just being honest from my perspective. It's like we've been conditioned to think, don't look past 5 years. We're thinking for the moment. You know, like, you wonder why, you know, our people keep saying, man, we don't have no jobs in the black community. Why can't the NAACP help us? Why can't the mayor help us? No, you idiot. You're supposed to help yourselves. You got $1.2 trillion buying power. You can't invest in your own infrastructure?
Well, it's not just helping ourselves, but you have to realize, I mean, for me, the NAACP has been irrelevant for a long time. People like Jesse Jackson, R. Sharpton have been irrelevant for a long time because they're in the business of making a living off of peddling race. That's all they are. That's all they're pretty much doing these days. I mean, they nothing. And I guess the best thing the NAACP does is an award show once a year. But other than that, that's not our focus. If we want to get into, if you know, like I said, I live in the Bay Area. This is the tech industry central here, and there are very few African Americans who are engaged in that industry. But I don't know if you heard this guy named Tristan Walker. He started a company, and he wants to be the first like black Procter & Gamble. And he's released his first product, which is going to be a line of men's shaving products for men of color. And he's getting a lot of promotion because he's been working in the Silicon Valley for quite a while now. He worked for Foursquare, he left, got his money, equity out of that, and he started to become an investor. Now he's doing his own thing. I think that's something, you know, that we should be looking at.
Yeah.
We should be looking at that. Those individuals who are doing something and looking toward them rather than, you know, relying on the same crop of people who make their way on the radio, on the television shows, to always tell us, you know, they remind us that somehow we're always going to be in this certain position. And the first thing I say is, I'm not oppressed. You know, nobody's going to oppress me. I'm not oppressed. You know, I don't care what anybody thinks about me. Me as an African-American person, you know, this is who I am. I'm going to be a success, whatever. But I think that that's what we need to do more. And I think that is even partly in our urban inner-city areas. You have to look at, like, what kind of businesses do we have on the streets? We can only have so many, you know, beauty salons, so many barbershops, you know, and so many soul food restaurants. We need to not only diversify the type of businesses that we're having in our community, but we need to also look at other ways to invest in other things, investing in the real estate in our community, all of those certain areas. Because if we don't do that, what is eventually going to happen is, yeah, people are going to come in, we're going to leave, and then they're going to put us out in the suburbs, and they're going to come back into the city. And that's the way it's got to be. We're going to be this whole thing.
And see, this is the thing. Like I said,
I go back to these,
when I keep talking about these churches, like they're not doing anything. So and the thing is, and beyond what you know, who support the church the most? Black women. They support the church the most. They are faithful tithe payers more than anybody. They could be a single mother with kids. She going to pay them tithes.
Well, what would happen if the pastor tell the truth and said, we need to think about outside the box? What would happen if the pastor tell the truth?
He won't have no members, because I put a pastor on the spot one time in a barbershop about talking about these single-parent households. And he didn't really want to answer me too much. I asked him, do you talk about the single-parenting epidemic in the black community and how we need to have, you know, a mother and father, two-parent structure? And you know good and well from the Bible, that's what God wants. You're like, yeah, well, people know, you know, not to do things like that, and they know right and wrong. I say, yes, but do you address it? I say, because if you got a bunch of women in your church, constantly coming in your church, single parents, or they your member, and they wouldn't even, like, had a kid, and this chick didn't have two kids in your church, and no man, no husband, and she feel comfortable sitting there, you must not be telling the truth. But they can't, they don't want to do that.
Hold on.
They don't want to do that. They don't want to
celebrate them Mother's Day.
Well, see, they don't want to do that because when they leave, they're tired of mothering leave. That's why. That's why you have more people online even doing news from different, no matter what culture. That's why they are just spewing out the truth, because who cares? I mean, you just put it out there, and you ain't worrying about, oh, man, if they don't, you know, give me a donation. No, I'm worried about my whole thing getting shut down. You know, it's just messed up that we do not appropriate our funds right. I would feel like if I was a pastor, like, you know, I would have more of a responsibility to make sure things get done in the community and speak out in the community. Because, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, he came out of the church. Most of your civil rights leaders and civil rights lawyers came out of the church back in the day. And that's what you're supposed to do in the work of God. You're supposed to get out there and fight and change things. And if
when Marvin Winer, I think there was one of the Winers, he's the pastor, he did speak out. I guess this one lady, she wanted to christen her baby, her child, before the congregation, and he had, which I do agree with this. He had told her that he would christen the child, but he was not going to do it before the congregation, because, and I do agree with that, because he wanted to celebrate people that are married before the congregation. And you should have said, so the girl got mad, she went to the news station, she made a big stink over it, and you should have seen the outlash that he received saying that he was being judgmental. See, that's the thing is about it. We use that one scripture, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, to justify our unreason to continue doing what we want to do. It makes no sense. I understand, you know, perhaps I'd never say a child of a mistake, but when you start having three or four different kids by different men, that's not a mistake. You're doing it because that's what you want to do. I'm sorry. That makes no sense. And that's why you cannot use that one scripture in the Bible to justify everything that you're doing.
Because, if that female would have told me that, like, oh, you being judgmental, I'd say, well, if I'm being judgmental, let me be judgmental then. You know what? God also said don't fornicate. How you get that baby?
But no,
the first thing I would have said.
What do you mean by christening the baby? What's that mean?
Like, basically, blessing the baby, dedicating the baby to God. You know, praying, they get in the altar, they pray over the baby, and dedicate the baby to God. That's basically what happens, okay? And what he didn't want to do is, like, get before the church without a married couple. That's what he didn't want to do. He wanted to say, I'll do it. He didn't deny her. He just said, I did not want to do it during service. He didn't deny her.
And see, but it wasn't just the women that said that. It was me and also other pastors was coming against him because they felt like he was being judgmental. Now, why couldn't those other men pastors have stood together with him? Because they knew what he meant. What he was trying to say, he wanted the other girls that's in the congregation that was to see, this is the way it's supposed to be in the eyesight of God. You come before the church with a husband, married, and you christen your baby. You know, but he didn't say that he wouldn't christen the baby. He just wanted to do it in his office behind, you know, not because that's not something to be celebrated. And it's not, if you read the Word of God, that I don't care how people try to twist it or what you're trying to make of it. Because see, what people want to do, they want to take parts of the Bible to fit their cause. No,
exactly.
You know, when you christen, when you're going before the church like that, you are supposed to be married. And that's what he was trying to say. And see, and she got upset, so she goes to the news station. They did a report on it, and then everybody became, you know, there were so many people that came against him for that right there. And these are people that are supposed to be religious people.
Well, you know what? The preachers are jealous of the preachers now because they probably jealous because he has a bigger church. And, you know, since he has a bigger church, you get, you know, more donations and all this other stuff that go along with having a bigger church. So these preachers are jealous of each other. You would think they preachers, they should stick together. They're all supposed to be men of God, but that just don't happen. They got more cliques going on in the church world than you would ever think.
Why do you think I left the church? Why do you think I've abandoned the church entirely? The church is in you guys. That's the key. If you read the Bible enough, that the church is within you, not in some building. You know, like if you look at like, which church can contain God? Which church can contain? If the whole world is his footstool, you think a building is going to contain him?
And this is my thing. You can go to church every Sunday and still bust hell wide open. That's what I tell people. And the thing is, what are you doing in your life that mirrors Christ? What are you doing? Are you raising your kids right? I mean, you're raising your kids right? You're teaching them the fear and admonition of the Lord? Are you treating your wife right, or your husband, or are you doing everything that he asks you to do, you know, in life? And God commands you, he commands you to work. That's not in his word to be lazy. He wants you to, you know, if people understand a parable of the talents, they'll really get it. Well, he gives you, you know, gifts, and you don't multiply anything that he's giving you, he's going to take it away from you and call you a wicked servant. But a lot of people don't get that particular parable. You know, there's a lot of things that the Bible talks about, that Jesus himself talked about, that's just awesome things just to know for yourself. You can't even do the simple thing, but yet you in church every Sunday. My thing is, how did you go to the club, get out of the club at 2:30 in the morning, and then you sitting in church at 11 o'clock service?
Go home, wash up, and then go to church. I know people that actually did that, too. That's the crazy thing about it. I wouldn't even. I know it sounds weird, but if like sometimes my friends would want me to go to the club with them, I don't even want to go. But I go there to chaperone, and then when we would get out, they want to go to church. But I feel like I should take that week off because I don't feel like I belong at church. I don't know.
Yeah, you got people that do that.
And some of them just worship these pastors. That's the reason. there's an article that came out. I heard about that Zachary Kim guy out of Orlando. They did find out that he died in a, remember, he died in a hotel last year in New York. Well, they found out what they had already suspected anyway, that it, his mother tried to protect it, that she didn't want it released from the medical corner, that what was the cause. But they found out it was heroin, an overdose of heroin and cocaine that was in his system. That was the reason he died. And if you remember, he had a mega church that I think was in some part, I think it's down past Orlando, Florida. But anyway, so he was a national known pastor, Zachary Tim. But anyway, you know, this, the church member just put him up. He was caught with prostitution, him and his wife ended up getting divorced. And, you know, and but the thing is about it, they put these pastors up so much. They worship them so much until, you know, when they fall, they have no one to go to. They get this, become like this God-like complex. The same thing go on in my church here. And I'm just like the other guy just spoke. I mean, it's not that I have turned away from God. I still believe in God. But I'm just searching for another church or something that it's, I know it's hard to find one that's just all about God, but most of these churches are all about the pastor. And I worship in the pastor, and I just cannot stand
it. Yeah, and that's not right. You're supposed to, you know, love and worship the Lord your God. That's what it, you're supposed to do.
Yes.
And not no pastor. And even a pastor wouldn't allow you, a true man of God, a woman of God, would not allow you to even revere them like that. They're like, oh, no. The glory go to God, not to me.
But
I am nobody.
Because of what they're getting. They're so, going back to what you said, they live this lavish lifestyle. I mean, I even have one of my friends, you know, she will give, if they have, you know, say, well, we want to give this much money to the pastor, she will give this. She will give every month. But then I, for the love of God, cannot even talk to her about, talk her into just getting something as simple as the 401K. She believes that, you know, that God is going to take care of her. And I keep trying to tell you, God put these things for, you know, she don't understand
your life
this.
For you.
She wanted,
that's what I call one of those super spiritual people. In other words, you know, they mysticize everything that they can't be practical. And what people don't understand about God, the way he works is if you take one step toward him, he'll take two towards you. But you got to take a step. Everything
and
in life, God wants you to do for self. That's why he gave you five senses. That's why he's giving you gifts and everything else that you have in life. God's not going to do everything for you.
And I try to hear
people.
The problem is that
a lot of these pastors are. The problem that a lot of these people are having is that the pastors are preaching this prosperity nonsense. They're telling them, oh, well, if you donate $10, then the Lord will bless you with $100. If you give me $100, then you'll get $1,000. And that's why they sit there and drive around in these fancy cars while their congregation members are out there giving thousands of dollars, thinking that maybe somehow God's going to give them that money back. I don't know where that idea came from, but for some reason...
Either.
Oh, well, let me tell you what happens when they don't get, when they donate the $10 and they don't get the $100 and they go up to the pastor and say, well, pastor, you know, you said that if I donate the $10 and you know, this amount of time I would get the $100, you know, it's like, well, what happened? Well, did you believe? I don't think you believe in, because you remember Jesus said that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could tell the mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea. And that's all you need is just faith of a grain of a mustard seed. And, you know, your faith fell short, and that's why it didn't happen. And they're like, oh, okay, you know. And that's it.
Not,
that's
right.
It.
And
that's all they tell them.
Doesn't this worshiping of
and they fall for it. And they fall for it.
Right.
That's the thing. They fall for it because this man is learned in theology. And you heard exactly what I just said. Now, if I was talking to one of them, wouldn't they be convinced what I just said?
No.
You know, and that's how it works. Because most people don't even read the Bible. They only open it when the pastor say open it. You could ask most Christians, have you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation? And they will say no, they haven't. They ain't read through the Gospels or Acts or even the New Testament, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they get twisted up with a pastor.
They do, and she is one of them. I mean, you know, and one of the things I just cannot stand, I may be wrong, but I cannot stand like these, and I don't see white churches doing this. I only see black churches doing this past the anniversary. you know, where
oh, yeah, they do that past anniversary, past appreciation, and everybody's giving them lavish gifts. And, I mean, it's worshiping the dude. Like, hold on. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And doesn't this go back to the slave days, basically? You know, this begging to be free, this, you know, worship, not praying hard enough, this, you know, this worshiping.
And I don't know if some people know this. You talk about the slave days. A lot of those pastors were under the control of slave master even during that time when they had black churches during slavery. And even a lot of the black churches was like when Margaret Sanger wanted to bring in Planned Parenthood and all the other stuff, she went to the black preachers and the black doctors to bring that in. Well, you do the research. She went to them preachers. Because, you know, you want to get to the black community, get to the preacher. You can get to him or the civil rights leader, you got black people. That's it.
Exactly.
If you can corrupt them, you got blacks.
And they will, believe, it's just like they believe, you know, just anything they say. It's like they cannot even think. Because, you know, some of the things that was teaching, and I was, like, she and I had a discussion about wine. She said, oh, no, it's a, I may be wrong, but I don't see where... Because Jesus turned the water into wine. He said, don't get drunk off of wine. We had a discussion about wine. She was like, oh, no, it's just so unholy to drink wine. I don't see that. So maybe, you know, as long as you're not getting drunk. And
according to the scriptures, yes. Yeah, so, even the New Testament scripture, Paul talked about where he said, don't be filled with wine, which basically causes drunkenness. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, the Bible does speak a lot about drunkenness. And that being actually sin, being drunken, being a drunk. But actually drinking itself, I mean, you know, if you drink a glass of wine, you know, it's a lot of health benefits to that.
There are actually multiple times in the Bible where it's referenced that they were drinking wine.
Yeah, I mean, so
one of the reasons that they actually drunk wine is because a lot of the water back then was dirty.
You know, a lot of your so if you're a social drinker, and it's the thing, if you say if you're a social drinker, you just drink, you know, you get buzzed, you don't get drunk, nothing.
Exactly.
None
of that.
Yeah, it's like then okay, that's fine. You mean what are you doing wrong? You're not inebriated, but when people get drunk, they get silly, they fight, they don't know what they're doing sometimes.
Now, that's totally different. That's ridiculous, Barry. You know that.
Yeah.
Because one of our friend was talking about if her and her husband celebrate the anniversary and they want to go out to eat and they want to drink a glass of wine, and it's not something that they do all the time. And, you know, maybe like say for instance, like once a year, and that's what we were saying. And what would be a sin about that if you're not getting drunk off that? And it's something.
And the Lord not gonna throw you in hell for one glass of wine.
And the amount of disrespect we have for our bodies, that's one thing. And I come from the nutrition background, and, you know, I would read so much about respecting your house. Your body is your house. But, you know, we eat, our health in the black community is just terrible, you know, and we don't have any kind of, you know, we'll go to church and then go to Harold's Chicken or, you know what I mean, just
it's not
filthy. We don't respect ourselves, our body.
Well, give me a second. A lot of times that we do, like I said, I admit that too. You know, we like to eat. You know, I like to eat, and food is fun. Food is comfort for a lot of us. We get together with family and eat cake, eat fried chicken, eat a cornbread dressing, and dirty rice, and all this other stuff that we normally eat. You know, as black people. You know, candy yams and all this stuff that we still eat today that we ate way back when during slavery times.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of this stuff that we eat isn't good for us. And, you know, like, you know, me, like I said, right now, I'm going through, you know, going through my changes to lose all my weight. Like I said, brother man, you know, shout out to Mr. Derek Williams, helped me with, you know, craft a diet. I don't know what he had today after talking about the show. But you talk to Derek with Gabrielle. You heard from him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, I keep up with him. You know, like I said, shoot, he got me going right, man. I dropped 9 pounds in a week. So, you know, we doing good. But the thing is, you know, we got to take care of ourselves because we're suffering with high blood pressure. We're suffering with diabetes. We're suffering with heart disease and all this other stuff. And, you know, I know it's hard for us to not eat that sort of food, because trust me, it was hard. Last night we went to Chili's, and my family was eating some good appetizers in front of me. Boy, they was having cheese fries and everything. I got me a Santa Fe salad because I sure wanted them cheese fries. They had, had bacon on it, a little cheese and bacon. Like, and my wife was enjoying herself. I'm telling you right in front of everybody, you was enjoying yourself to a point. Okay, and that mini burger you ate, y'all had the mini burgers, I had the fries.
Oh, the sliders.
Bite size, yeah, bite size
not
chili.
The sliders. They got them sliders.
Yeah, the sliders. That's what they had. Right. They had sliders. And they had one. I had to muster up all my discipline to say, no, I'm eating my Santa Fe salad. It don't matter. All y'all ate that.
So you can't treat yourself once in a while, though.
Huh, what did you say, Ms. Gabriella?
I mean, when I go out to eat with my family, I just eat whatever. So, I mean,
well,
I don't know.
You're in a position you can do that. Me, I'm trying to drop my stuff in about 90 to 120 days.
I see. Well, I mean, I'm
already hold on. So. Not my wife telling me about, we was out of town and saying, I was eating like a pig last week because, but I knew I was going on a diet. That's like going to jail. So I was going to eat all the stuff I could eat.
Hey,
that's important to cooking at home too, you know. I mean,
they were doing cooking at home. Oh, they do plenty of cooking at home
on a daily basis.
Oh, they were doing cooking at home on a daily basis at my mother in law house. They do plenty of cooking.
Right. Yeah.
So it wasn't that. We went out.
Right.
Only time we went out was a sushi restaurant, right? Yeah. Sushi. Other than that, we was eating at the crib.
Yeah.
I was meaning to ask the caller the question if he's still there. The caller, advisor?
Which one?
The one from California.
Well, the one from the Bay Area?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I got a question to ask you, caller, online. I'm from the Bay Area, but in Floridaville. Like, you mentioned something about peddling race. You mentioned something about, like, we're the only group of people that everybody sees our leaders, everybody else got apparatuses in place. Why are these black student unions don't make progress? I mean, I know you touched on it, but how come people like Jesse Jackson, the Al Sharptons of the world, or the Dick Gregory's of the world, these old-time civil rights leaders, how come they don't put up young bloods to take their place? You know, like, they got new ideas and innovation. Same thing goes with these black student unions.
Because I guess the basic answer is that you have people who want to maintain a certain bit of power. You maintain a certain bit of power if you continue to put that rhetoric. Because if people actually start to improve, what does that say about what your job or what you do? And people like them, some of them, they make a living off of it. For other people, when you're talking about the college level, you've got a bunch of lost kids who don't know, you know, themselves, and they're trying to find out who they are. And sometimes they use somewhat extreme measures to try to figure that out. So, you know, as they're learning more and more about, you know, our history and that sort of thing, they become increasingly angry as if it was, you know, the day that it happens. And they don't understand how, okay, this is what happened to us. This was this is how tragic it was, and this is where we are today, and we remember that so that we never return to that particular not that we are, we never return it. Once you know, it never happens again. So you kind of have those two things happening. The other thing is, if you want to make your way, if you want to be the new leader, you're going to have to grab that seat because they're not giving it to you. It's like you think about it like this, you know. Since, you know, back in the early days, since black people couldn't work in corporations in those old days and make their way up, they used to church, in the pulpit, and they were the CEO of their own little company there. They were going to maintain that. And whenever they got out into the community and they started talking and they said, oh, we need to do this, you need to do that, some people were actually sincere about it. Others were simply trying to, you know, get themselves on the mega stage, get attention, build their church up, or make more money.
It's just like, for example, let's just say you said black folks couldn't, like, have companies, but there was a lot of black folks were in civil service jobs, you know what I mean, government jobs, post office, you know, and that was their way to get into the middle class, was it not, as well?
Yeah, 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 well,
hey, guys,
yeah,
guys,
well,
hold
yeah.
on. Guys, hold on. I got a call coming in. I need to answer. Air code 518, you on the show.
Hello? Just on the showdown.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Hey, somebody else turn the show down. They listening to it on the computer or something because I'm hearing the echo. I hear the echo.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Fire, yes, how you doing?
Hi.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Fire, yes, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Hi.
I was calling because I noticed from listening to the conversation and also reading what the Tea Party said about us forgetting about slavery.
Okay, sister, I think you got to I muted everybody to find out who it was. You need to turn down the computer or something. I keep hearing the echo.
Okay. I don't know if that's better.
Okay, I don't hear echo now. Cool. Okay, go ahead. What you were saying?
What I wanted to say is that if we can forget about slavery, then we need to have white America forget about distinguishing us as being different and profiling us because of our color then. And until
exactly.
we can get there, because the crux of the matter is color is an issue.
Correct.
And we can't forget about that because we're never allowed to forget about that.
Exactly. We cannot forget that I am a black man or you a black woman. They would always let us know that that's what we
so
are.
So I don't know how that's really gonna help us as a people. I think most families' histories, whether you're white or black, if there was some tragedy or even the good parts of family history, people talk about that through their family systems, and it has a way of building the character of each and every family unit based on what your grandparents did or, you know, who your ancestry is. So mm-hmm. that sort of shapes your family based on what your predecessors did. And throughout your family unit and your history, you talk about that, and you learn about that. And those things help mold and mend you to be a better person or can help you be a worse person, depending on the situation. And, you know, how your parents mold you and have you progress as an adult and what you're going to do once you become an adult. So I don't understand the logic behind people wanting to make slavery, which is part of the African-American history, to all of a sudden wipe that clean. No one ever says that to the Jewish people about the Holocaust.
No they don't. And they know better because they're like, they'll tell them in a minute, you anti-Semitic.
The Japanese people, when they tried to put them in concentration camps here, no one talks about that when it comes to American Indians and the Trail of Tears. Why do we have to be denied our history? And I really believe that the reason why that's an issue is because it's an issue that really is emotionally, psychologically, and physically charged by all peoples involved. And
mm-hmm.
it hits a chord of all people of color related to what happened. And if we can address that, because slavery is the beginnings of this country. It was founded.
If this country, would not be what it is today. If it wouldn't
go back
our...
and have to say that yes, through the blood, sweat, and tears of these people that we brought here, many of them that were brought here as captives, and the ones that weren't brought here as captives, we made them slaves by taking away their freedom and making them slaves. That's an issue that we have to deal with. And anybody that knows anything about American history and Black American history knows that even white scholars say, and even from other countries in here, until we actually address the issue of slavery and try to bring about some wholeness, as a nation, I mean, that it will always be an issue and a problem in this country. So,
I agree.
I don't know what else to say besides that.
I'll just
continue to listen from that point.
Yeah, no, you spoke
because
the truth.
I have an echo, so I had to turn my computer all the way down, so I cannot hear at all at this point.
Okay, like
so
I'm
hearing, hang up.
Yeah, I'm hearing everything you're saying, but it's the truth. Everything you just spoke, there's nothing I can say about that until they address slavery for what it is. Then she's right. Nothing will begin to have a healing in this nation because they really don't want no healing. Because the thing is, in order to have a true healing, you have to have a true equality. And I don't care what they say, they still cool with white supremacy. That's the thing. They still happy being on top. They're, you know what I'm saying? Only one group is getting, you know, the break. You know what I'm saying? It's just the truth. What can we say about that? I mean, think about it. It's like you on a football team, you got an advantage. You really think you want to give that up to somebody else so you can make the playing field even?
And not that, too, like you said about, like, not only white folks don't want to talk about it, you got some of these Black celebrities don't want to talk about it. Like,
but they tap dancing. A lot of them get money and they
feel their hands are tied, though, because a lot of them are under contract and there's certain things that they just can't say.
I mean,
because they will lose their position. And would you really, if you think about it, if you're getting making $10 million per movie and you're making all this money and advertisements and everything else, would you really want to stick your neck out there on the chopping block to lose all of that just to say something? And
this
most of them say no.
That's like the, what's the verse? Take a man a profit to gain the world but lose his soul in the process.
Well, I don't know if you heard of there was this interview. You can actually see it on YouTube. It's on the Hollywood Reporter, and it was from 2012, I think it was. And they did a director's roundtable, and they do these things with actors and everything before award nominations come out. So they had the director who just obviously who we know now directed 12 Years a Slave, Steve McQueen. And so he's the only Black director on the panel. And one of the, the guy that was moderating the panel asked him, he kind of asked him a question about why there was a lack of diversity, why there aren't more Black directors sitting up there with him and, or more Blacks being featured in major films, because the previous film he had directed was not a Black film, and he got a lot of praise for it. And so he looked in the room and he said, "You don't need to be asking me, you need to be asking them." And everybody got uncomfortable. He looked at them and he started speaking to them saying, because he was from Britain. He was saying, why is this diverse country America? And whenever you turn on the television screen, you don't see that diversity reflected. When you go to the theater, you don't see that reflected. And he spoke out of that moment, and made his peace there. I believe he did it because he had an opening. They gave, he was given an opening by the question that allowed him to kind of have the freedom to look at them and say something that he might not have said any other time. Because he's just trying to go along and get his work done and make his career. But that didn't seem to hurt him, because he obviously is directing, 12 Years a Slave and getting all kinds of
I haven't. I've been wanting to see that movie, and I like that. I've been wanting to see it. 12 Years a Slave. I heard it's real good. I haven't seen it yet.
It's just that, remember as well that Nick Cage said, Black people shouldn't worry about, I think I don't have the quote with me, but he said that Black people should forget about slavery. That's what Nick Cannon said, I believe.
I heard that comment. He said he's tired of watching slavery movies. Why can't we have movies that shows us as kings and queens in a positive light? That's what he said. He said he just don't want to see us as slaves. And like I said, one instance people attacking him, But, like, yeah, I agree with that. Like, why can't you show the Nubians or something like that, their kingdom? And, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Why can't they show that?
It's because it's not profitable.
Yeah, they're not going to make any money off of that. Because if you've seen any movie where they portray black people in a positive light and they did not show black people as being subservient to whites, those movies don't make a lot of money. And those are not the movies that get the Academy Awards. So why would you waste your money making a movie that's not going to give you – you're not going to really get the capital back?
It's not always that, too, because recently I read about Danny Glover has been trying to make a movie for the longest about the Haitian Revolution, where they took the country over from the French, and that he tried to get so many people to back him for this movie, and it was going to be about, you know, basically black heroes doing that, and they told him, and he even said it, that, well, where's the white hero in this movie? And like, there is no white hero. He said, well, we're not going to back that. There's no white hero. And he was just, his mouth dropped, and he cannot get financing for this movie because they have no white hero.
Well, who cares about the white hero, man?
Well, that's what they do, because they the ones with the money that he normally would go to finance it. The corporation.
But they'll back a movie like The Blind Side, though. They'll back a movie. Like Press.
But
no, I don't know. I don't like The Blind Side. I hate that movie.
But
I liked it at first,
to
but
what
if you
said.
Look at that movie objectively, you will not like The Blind Side. Go look at that movie and look at the fact that they kept insinuating that the young man was trying to sleep with the daughter. Look at the fact that they all the black people in the movie were portrayed as crackheads and drug dealers, and all the white people were rich.
And the thing is, but it goes back to what they told Danny Glover. It's a white hero in that movie. That's why.
It's not only that, too. Like, we got to understand that, like, you know, you keep hearing these people, like, these black conscious people saying, like, man, a white man keep me down and stuff like that. But we are our own worst enemy. You make your reality possible. You know what I mean, Gabby?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, but
then if you want to put on a movie and ask people to help you, you know, finance a movie, well, you probably can't get that done too much because people scam people out of money and stuff. You know how that goes, you know, as black people.
People won't finance it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem right there. But what I'm saying is, I saw was just only 8 people saw 12 Years a Slave, right? But yet 5,000 people can go to see a Tyler Perry Madea movie. The whole state would be full of capacity.
Yeah, but that's comedy. It's okay. They'll finance a comedy.
As long as we
clowning and stuff like that, that's okay. As long as we, you know, doing some action or whatever, that's fine. But when it comes to some real stuff, addressing some real issues, no. Now, all of a sudden, they're coming out with all these Bible movies, all of them. You notice that? They got Noah. They about to come out with...
Flat Nativity.
I think another Jesus movie and something else. And I'm like, oh, yeah, of course, all these people are white. None of them are black. None of them are different races of people. They're all white. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, it's make you shake your head. When everybody knows Jesus wasn't white, but yet they still portraying Jesus as white. You know,
at least they could put some Arabs in the movie. I would feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah. Judas was an Arab. Judas, who betrayed Jesus, was an Arab, 100% Arab. And yet they never show him, you know, as 100% Arab. Because he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know.
Denzel Washington is one of the few directors or actors who does directing, you know, that can get away. You know when he did the one about the all-black debate team? You know, he got the financing for that in his contract, but they do something stipulated. Like, he had to star in the film, so he had to have a big role. So he couldn't – they wouldn't let him do the film if he was going to try to discover a new actor to take on the role. So he had to do it. So he can make what they call passion films. Like, he did Antoine Fisher. He got to do those because that's what they stipulate. You have to star in the film. If he doesn't have a role in the film, then that's the way. But he can get away without having a hero that's not black.
Yeah, Denzel got a pass, though. Like I say, I probably think Samuel Jackson can get away with a whole lot because, you know, look, man, he works all the time. That's all you see is Samuel Jackson and Denzel Washington in movies. You know, I don't even see Will Smith in movies a whole lot anymore. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what happened with that.
Will Smith only likes to do 1 or 2 films a year, and he gets paid pretty well, the $40 million for doing the film. So, you know, he's finally, he doesn't want to do it like 5, 6, 7 films back to back at a time. So he just likes to do that and spend the rest of the time with his family. But I do believe someone like Will Smith would have a possibility to push a film. But I think about it when you go back to saying Danny Glover. If I were Danny Glover, I would have went right straight to all the African Americans.
Yeah, I mean, why can't he go ask? He can ask Russell Simmons or go ask Diddy or you know, people who actually got money. Oprah, go ask her. You know, I mean, you know, if somebody. I mean, Oprah know who he is.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But Russell Simmons sold out with that Harriet Tubman film, though. That's the problem.
Oh yeah, don't even get me started talking about Russell Simmons. But anyway, I appreciate everybody joining the show tonight. Like I said, we got 10 seconds. We'll make sure to join you guys next week. Make sure you check out for the promo that Miss Gabriella's going to make. That's her new job.
Why me?
Well, you employed, so you got to do it. But make sure to check everybody next week. Y'all have a good day, and I'll try to get the rest of these videos up. You know, I got to stuff for the bait.
And Vaso.
Yes, sir.
You ever thought about, like, maybe one day you can talk about